this is an interesting time for a lot of people. There are mothers here who are so excited. You're a mother and you've got children, and Mother's Day is a great day of adventure and family adventure. And then on the other side of the spectrum, Mother's Day can be a time of missing moms. Moms have passed. Some moms have left kind of this physical life, and it can be a very sad time and a very sad day. Some people have difficult childhood experiences, and they look back on those childhood experiences, and that can be a challenging thing, and that has an impact on how Mother's Day is viewed. You know, it's interesting, all this also applies to Father's Day. I just know, and I really want to recognize that while we're calling this Mother's Day weekend, I know it's not easy for a number of people in the room. And I really acknowledge that. And we seek the Lord always to grow and understand and to learn more and have answers for our questions. But I do want to acknowledge the ministry of you moms and also make sure that all women are included in this. This message isn't so much for men, although I believe that men will get from it, but women, you all have a big role. Paul says it, this is like a standalone verse to me, and I'll share this regularly. I've shared this on Mother's Day. I've shared this just talking to people one-on-one. I think that this is a big impact verse for us. When Paul says, Rufus, greet your mother for me, Romans 16, verse 13. It's an interesting chapter because Paul's calling out a number of people to be greeted personally. And one of them, he says, Rufus, greet your mother to me as she's also a mother to me. And in one translation, it actually says, Rufus, greet your mother and mine. Now, it's not Paul's actual mother, but it is his mother. You know? And this woman had tremendous influence on Paul. Maybe more than he knew. I think one thing that stood out to me, and for some reason I'm more aware of it as I get older, how many people don't realize the influence they've had on other people until they're over a certain age. They don't know. My guess is, women, that you have probably had tremendous influence on somebody in your life, somebody outside that you would be surprised at that looks to you in that way. You may not know it right away, but if you go back and you start to peel back and you look at the people that you connect with and the people, how they ask you questions of things that they're searching you on, and what they're saying is, I want you to influence me. I need you to speak to me like this in my life. So women, thank you for that. There is something, our flowers after service, please do take a flower. If you're in our youth group or older, so 12 years old and older, please do take a flower. I wish it was more. It's hard to take the influence of somebody who's spoken into our lives and distill it down to one gift. But thank you, women. Thank you all. Thank you for what you do. And I appreciate that example for Paul to call it out. He didn't say, it wasn't casual about it, like, Mom. The scriptures are clear, as a mother to me. And I believe that that goes on very much in the kingdom of faith. Very much. A lot of good influence that goes on. So I relate to this. This is one thing, and I'm going to speak about women here a little bit. I relate to this, and I want to share what I mean. These three ladies, Rahab, Lydia, and Dorcas. Dorcas is also known as Tabitha, depending on what you call her. They are power women, power statement people, I guess. Rahab, Joshua 2, verse 11, for the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on the earth beneath. She makes this statement to the spies who are sent to search Jericho, and they're hiding, and they're, you know, their enemy is in Jericho looking for them. All of Jericho really is their enemy, including Rahab. Rahab is not an Israelite. She lives in Jericho, and she sees these spies. She can hide these spies. She can help these spies, and she decides to make an offer they can't refuse. Such a bargain. So she goes to the spies, and she said, I'll tell you what, I will, basically, these are my words, but I will hide you, but when you get back and you attack, remember me and my mom and dad and my sister and brothers. And she lists her whole family. Watch out for my whole family. And Rahab's an interesting person. She's a harlot. There's not a ton of clarity what that means. Is she a sex worker? Had she been in an adulterous situation? It kind of can range in a spectrum of definition. But we know that she at some point was had compromised in that way. And she didn't have the very best reputation. I mean, clearly in the scriptures, she's called out as a harlot. When she makes the statement in the verse, as a non-Israelite, as somebody with a negative reputation, somebody who is living in a very difficult place, she knows she's surrounded by enemies, but she tells these guys, and this is really a big, powerful verse, for the Lord your God, he is God in heaven, above and earth below. He is, and she really knows who the Lord is. Hebrews 11 actually calls her out for her faith. She didn't have even the upbringings or the teaching, but because of her stand and recognizing who God is from his mighty acts and the things that he did, and she knew that he was the real God, and she took that bold stand to hide these people in her own city, and she said, save my family. That's tremendous faith. And we look back at Rahab all these years later, and we say, man, Rahab, that is faith. That is a boldness. You are a particularly strong woman. You tracking with me? We go to the next one. Lydia, Acts 16. This is talking about Lydia, of course. Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira. Thyatira? Did I say it? Thyatira. You know, sometimes these letters, they don't... Yeah, I don't know. I think there's typos in there. I'm kidding. Anyway, she worshiped God. So Paul and Silas, Timothy, others are going, they go into the city and they're looking for people to share faith with. And we know it's the Sabbath. There's not a lot of details about the size of the Jewish community there, but they're looking for people on the Sabbath, and they're clearly, who worships on the Sabbath? Jews. They're looking for Jews they're going to share faith with. And they find some women at the water's edge, and Lydia is one of the women. She's a woman of faith. These women are there. They're praying. Some historians speculate that there really wasn't a lot of Jewish men in the area, and that's why the women were meeting in this way. Whatever it was, Paul and the others share who the Messiah is, the good news of the Lord, good news of the Messiah, who he is and what he's about, and these sorts of things. And Lydia and some of these others, they give their life to the following the Messiah. They say, yes, he's the one. We will follow the Messiah. Lydia says, he is the one. I will follow him. It's interesting to kind of look back at it. If we look from today's perspective, this is another way of saying it. There was a bunch of ladies who had some understanding of the Lord, and they were having a prayer meeting. They knew all about the Lord at their prayer meeting, but they really didn't know the Lord. That might be a way we would describe it today. Isn't it interesting that these ladies at the prayer meeting, they found the Lord? Paul shows up, tells them the way. I mean, that is a cool story. It is generally speculated that Lydia and these ladies were the very first believers in this city. And some historians believe the very first believers in all of Europe. That's a strong woman to do something that others haven't done. And we look at her as a benchmark, just like Rahab, a benchmark of looking out for family, a benchmark of faith. And then, you know, what's interesting about Lydia also, this is something that gets lost a lot in the shuffle. She was a professional. In 2025, a lot of ladies work. True? 50 years ago, not as much. More and more and more, not only do we have, I mean, more families, husbands work, wives work. It's just a thing. People are women in the workplace, and equal pay, and appropriately so, all these things are going on. And Lydia was a benchmark for being a professional also. It's a very cool statement that she had to follow the Lord and also be a somebody in the business, so to speak. And the final person, Dorcas, or again, Tabitha, Acts 9, verse 36, this woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. So Dorcas, she would help people, and she would make clothes, and she would do these things to help people. And it's interesting, so she passes away. If you're not familiar with the story of Dorcas, she dies, and Paul hears that she's passed away. He goes, and these other women are showing them the things that she made them. when she was alive. They're saying, well, she sowed this and she sowed this and look what she made. She made this. And she did all of these things to help us. In fact, the Bible says that there were widows. Many of them were widows. So she was, in other words, she was helping people in need, not just friends. She was helping people who needed help. Back then, they didn't have Social Security. They didn't have any other government agencies in that way. So the community had to contribute very much. Actually, whoever that is, if you could turn your ringer off, that would be grand. Not trying to call anybody out. I think Dorcas would agree. So when Dorcas dies, she was a beloved woman who would help many others. So Paul sees, and he sees all these things that she's done after her passing, all of the blessings and the value she had. He prayed for her. She rose from the dead. She goes back around. And I can't imagine the joy the people had in seeing her again. This was their beloved friend, the one who cared for them, the one who loved them, the one who set a benchmark of care that today we're still looking at. In fact, several weeks ago, there was one of our good friends here, Todd Westfall, who leads a congregation in Maryland, and he spoke, and he has a ministry in his Messianic congregation called the Dorcas Ministry. And the whole Dorcas, all they do is raise for people in need. And it's a very cool thing. And he's they're recognizing the name of Dorcas. These three women, major influencers, powerful major influencers in our lives today. These are some of the examples that we say, yes, let's be like them, women and men. I need to be helpful like Dorcas. I need to be able to take a stand. Men too, you get where I'm going, just like Rahab. Very cool stuff. In my professional place, I have to make sure I don't squeeze out the Lord. For me, it's you know, kind of nice that way. But we love the example of these ladies. Now there's another example. And this is where it starts to turn for us a little bit. It's Mary, Miriam. And she's going to have a baby, and she's going to be the mother of Yeshua. And at this point, she doesn't know. An angel shows up to tell. And we'll jump in here. Luke 1, the angel spoke to her, "Do not be afraid, Miriam, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and shall call his name Yeshua. He will be great and will be called Ben Elyon. Adonai Elohim will give him the throne of David, his father. He shall reign over the house of Jacob for all eternity." These are heady words. "Shall reign over the house of Jacob for all eternity." This is, what's she thinking? "And his kingdom will be without end." I would like to know what she's thinking at this particular time. Maybe there's a point in history. Maybe when we're in heaven, we'll find out, hey, you know, what were you thinking? Do you remember back then? The angel shows up and says these most amazing things about the baby she's going to carry, about the one that she'll be a mother to. Amazing things. I think my parents would have been happy if an angel would have showed up and said, "Your son will get B's in school." They would have rejoiced. But the angel shows up and she tells Mary all, or he tells, the angel tells Mary all of these things. Powerful things, kingdom without end, big, big, big things. So what are her expectations? When we pour into other people, when, ladies, you pour into somebody's life and you care for somebody, there's, I think a lot of times it's safe to say there's expectations that they hear you and they respond. Amen? You want to pour into somebody, you want to encourage them, you want to show them hope and direction, the Lord, you want to give them ideas and speak through them for the challenges in life. You want to love them. Maybe nobody else loves them, but you might be that one person to bring them love and real genuine concern and genuine care. And we're pouring into a life like that, and that's what Mary's hearing about, this one she's going to have, and she'll pour into, of course, Yeshua's life. But then what did she think when he was born in a barn? That did not go exactly the way she thought it was going to go at the onset. There's no way. When the angel was done speaking, she realized that Yeshua was going to be born in a barn. Do you agree with me? I can't imagine what was in her head. They're riding in. They're heading toward Jerusalem. That wasn't even their home area. And they needed a place. I mean, we all know the story. So they find a manger. You know, what is it, a manger? Is it a big barn, a little barn? Is it just a feeding place? And sometimes historians disagree, but we get the point. It's for animals. So now she's got to go into this place and she's going to have her baby, who we just heard these things about, born in a barn. It's wild. Sometimes things aren't the way we expect them to be. Sometimes we get a grandiose vision for something. I was talking to my dad before service, and I have this, I have two daughters, and they're older now. They're both, you know, adults, and they're out of school, and they have jobs, and, you know, they're at that point in life. And I think, and this is what I was talking to my dad about, there's two ages of, for me being a father, there's two ways I look at my children, under the age of 10 and over the age of 10. Under the age of the 10 was happy clappy. You know what I'm talking about? The hardest thing I had with my child under the age of the 10 was either a dirty diaper, a messy bedroom, trying to figure out what to do for the holidays. And I thought that was hard. And then my children went over the age of 10. And those teenage years, something happened. My children were taken away, and crazy people were put back in my life. And I don't really understand what happened. I think I'm still recovering. And now, bear in mind, my kids are old. They're over 30 years old now. I'm not quite sure what happened, but there's two ages. And if I look at somebody, and I'll say it like this, if you pour into somebody's life, I think that there's two extremes in there also, maybe not quite as much of a swing as being a child to an adult. But if we look, sometimes we pour into somebody's life, but they're not so mature. They're a mess. They're a big mess. How many of you know what I'm talking about? The rest of you, I don't believe. They're a mess. There's a verse I would look at in Proverbs here. Where no oxen are, the trough is clean. But much increase comes by the strength of an ox. Look, if you want a clean life, don't get an oxen. You see that? If you want to pour into somebody's life, you're going to get a mess. Somebody is going to come in your life and you're going to develop a good relationship with them, and it's going to make a mess because their relationships make messes. But the love and the pouring in is worth it. Do you know, have you ever had anybody leave your life in a huff and never talk to you again? It leaves wounds, doesn't it? But you're not dead. You get back at it. You find someone else to be in a relationship with. And those of you mothers, all of you women, that pour into somebody's life, there are hard days and there are good days. And hard days and good days. And you hang in there because they need you to pour in their life, even though they are a mess. And if you don't want to deal with any messes, you don't talk to anybody. Stay home. Have your groceries delivered by Amazon. Don't see the doctor anymore. You see where I'm going with this? It's the nature. Now, the blessing is in the second half of the verse, the oxen, but much increase comes by the strength of an ox. As we pour in, as you ladies pour into somebody's life, and they grow, the strength of the relationship grows too. You just have to get to that point. Hang in there. Some people will go, but you love them, you love them, you love them, you love them. And they need you to love them. They need you to pour into them. Never feel bad about that, even though it may go messy, even though you may feel like you're in a barn sometimes. You know what I'm talking about? And it doesn't matter if it's a biological child or a loved child. They need you and you need them to receive from you. Now, you don't really need them, but it's a good thing in the relationship when you can pour into somebody. Another thing that happens, I'll say it like this. We'll just go into a verse. A thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Do you know Life is hard. Things can be messy anyway. But we do have an adversary also. We do have somebody that is not on our side. You know that? The adversary. Sometimes people call him Satan. The adversary, the one, the whatever. We do have an adversary. And that's real. And that he does not want us to have joy. He does not want us to know the Lord. He does not want us to have these things. And like a thief will come to steal, kill, and destroy, that's how he does his things. If I go on, I have come that they may have life. That's speaking specifically, Yeshua has come that they may have life and life more abundantly. That's Zoe life. That's an abundant life. That's not an afterlife. He's not talking about an abundant life, meaning beyond. He's talking about life here also. So on one hand, you're trying to pour into somebody's life. You're trying to do those things that encourage and bless and honor. You know, you're trying to love somebody. And here comes somebody who's trying to steal from you. Steal good relationships. Your sense of who you are. That word kill also means sacrifice. He wants you to sacrifice things. Leaves things out there, I'm giving up on that. I'm giving up on that. He wants to rob from your life, your daily life. But it is not who you are. It is not. Psalm 139, Ingrid read this earlier. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know that when I sit down and when I rise up, you discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Where shall I go from your spirit? Where shall I flee from your presence? Who we are doesn't come from who we love. Who we are comes from how he sees us. And sometimes we have tough days with the ones we love. Sometimes things don't go exactly the way we think they're going to go with the ones we love. The enemy might be trying to do his thing with us and attack us through the ones we love. But our identity doesn't come from that. It comes from him. Who he says we are. He sees us. He knows us. I mean, we're known sometimes by our associations. That's true. But who he sees us is so much more. So ladies, you're loved. You're loved. Whether you feel it, whether you don't feel it, you're loved. He does love you very much. And your time of influence is now. Keep influencing. Keep doing what you do. And if you don't know if you have anybody that you are influencing, pay attention. I think you're going to find somebody or find somebody. Amen? Would you please, ladies, please stand up? Just women. I would like to pray for you. Lord God, I am blessed by these women. You have brought them here. You have brought us together, and we are a congregational family. Thank you for this connection, Lord. Thank you for using these women to build this house. Thank you for using these women to carry your testimony. Thank you for these women for the love that they bring, for the care, for the leadership, for the testimony of the faith, all of these things. Lord, I pray for blessings on their life. I pray for a deeper understanding between them and you of how much you do love them and how much you do see them. Thank you for them, Lord. B'Shem Yeshua. Amen. Everybody, please stand up. Thank you, ladies. Don't forget, there's plants. There's coffee down the hall and oneg. Prayers will be right here. Thank you, Lord. Yovarachach Adonai voyishmerecha. Ye'er Adonai panav eliecha vihuneka. Yasei Adonai panav aliecha v'yaseim lacha. Shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. Amen. Be blessed.